just a prayer to pray, more than just a way to heaven. What does it mean to be His, to be formed in His likeness, know that we have a purpose, to be salt and light in the world, in the world, to be salt and light in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Oh, that the church would arise. Oh, that we would see with Jesus' eyes. We could show the world heaven. Show what it means to be His, to be formed in His likeness. Show them they have a purpose.
To be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. To be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so.
Lord, say so, say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so, say so.
Thank you, Jesus. God, you're worthy. Let's just worship him a little bit this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done, for being in this place, God, for working in our hearts and minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You could be seated for a few minutes this morning. We want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. If this is your first time or maybe a couple times, either way, if you're watching online, we welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad you're here. We do have a little card. If this is your first time, you can fill this out. It's either you was handed to you, or you can go to the back and they'll give you one too. Just a couple quick questions to get to know you a little bit better. It's exciting. It's exciting to be in church this morning. So a couple announcements we have first. I'm going to go through some announcements and we'll watch a quick video here. The first one is that if you're in person today, there is a, you know what, let's do the video first. Go ahead and play the video, Sister Jessica.
My name is Dinesha Gates, and I'm an apostolic educator for Urshan College and Urshan Graduate School of Theology.
My name is Jen Cantrell, missionary to West Africa.
My name is Jeremy Hart.
And I'm Jamin Hart, full-time evangelist.
And this is our story.
All right, Sister Jessica. Every now and then we have a little bit of a technical difficulty where the sound doesn't line up. I'm sure if you've ever, in the last year and a half, stuck at home and you've had to watch something online, that happens from time to time. But essentially, this is a promotional video for Mother's Memorial. It is an offering that we do for Mother's Memorial. They have all these things they're going to bring up. You'll see this over the next month. We'll be showing some videos. We'll get the kinks ironed out before next time. And it's just an offering we take every year for Mother's Memorial. It helps a bunch of different ministries all over the country. Pay attention to that when you see the videos, when you see some of the flyers and the promos and the emails sending out. But typically the last offering is right around Mother's Day, which is in May. If you are worshiping in person today, you can drop off your offering in the kiosk. There's a little plastic box in the back that you can drop it in. You could also go to the website, cgcmadison.org/giving. And if you want to use the mail, the U.S. Postal Service, there's an address there. And you could also give by text. Just put on there exactly what it is. You got to make sure to put the keyword. So tithes, offering, or MM in this case would be Mother's Memorial. So that works out really good. This Wednesday, April 14th, we have a special missionary, a special mission service with Brother Marcus Brenos. He's a missionary to France. So they'll be here. That's going to be exciting. And then next Sunday, April 18th, we're having back again from last year, Brother Pastor and Evangelist Aaron Wright will be ministering to us. He's from Pennsylvania. So we're excited about Brother Wright. So come expecting for both of those services. And then two other things, quick notes here is April 19th is a Monday. That is, we are starting our 6 weeks virtual marriage workshop. Today is the deadline to register. It's an online thing. It's digital, so the moment at 11:59, it's closed, and you can't do it anymore. So the procrastinating class is next week. If you forget that, we'll start a... No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so this is an online virtual marriage workshop. It's a Zoom meeting. It's going to have some practical applications, some discussion, a little bit of lesson. It's being put on by my wife and I, Casey, and then Pastor Jessica and her husband John. So we're really excited. It's going to be awesome, a little something different, but we're excited for it. And also, there's a QR code. As you see these little pamphlets around the building, you can scan that, and that's a quick way to register as well. One other note, some of you started to hear some rumors. Sunday school is coming back. Look at this. Yes. That's just my teaser. That's all I'm going to say about Sunday school. One thing you will note is the youth are not skipping church this morning. Okay, they're not skipping church. I know we all expect them to be here. The youth are sitting in the back, and the youth are actually starting. We're going to have Sunday school kind of open it up in phases. The youth is starting their service this morning. So after the next worship set that we have, we'll have some prayer in the worship set. They'll kind of quietly sneak out. So if you hear a couple, be really quiet, youth. Okay, they'll kind of quietly sneak out back to the library where they will start having their classes. So we're really excited about this approach and the phased approach to the bringing Sunday school back. With that, if you could all stand, let's say a prayer. Let's pray for this service that God would continue to have his way. But also, we have three special needs this morning. First off, we want to pray for our bishop. He was not feeling well, Bishop Grant. And so let's pray for Bishop that God would heal him this morning. Also, Dan Powell. You guys have heard the announcements. Dan Powell was in for surgery this week. And so we want to continue to pray that the healing process and all the stuff that happens after surgery goes well. This was a big surgery. And then we just heard this morning that Brother Lenny Smith, a lot of you know Brother Lenny Smith, but it's Brother Ben Smith's dad. We need to pray that God would heal him. We just got news this morning that he might have had a stroke or Bell's palsy. There's something with his face, and whatever it is, it's not good, but whatever it is, God is good and God can take care of it. So can we bind together for these three brothers today and just pray that God would have his way also in this service? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for your love and your power and your greatness, God. God, Lord, we bring our brothers before you right now, God. We pray for Brother Dan Powell, Lord. We know the surgery is complete and there's a lot of work to do, God, in the healing process, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would heal his body in this process, that you would quicken it, God, that you would work in him, God. Lord, that he would be new and whole, God, at the end of this, God. Lord, we pray for our bishop, Bishop Grant, God. Lord, you know the sickness and what he's feeling today, God. I pray a healing touch on him this morning, that you would be with him and strengthen him, God, and encourage our bishop, God. Be there for him in every step. And God, we pray for Brother Lenny Smith this morning. God, Lord, we don't know which one of these two things it is, but God, you are a great God. God, and we bind together this morning as a church, God, praying, Lord God, that whatever it is removed completely, God. That he is healed and made whole completely by the power of your name, God, and your word. In Jesus' name, we pray for our Brother Lenny and his family, God, that you would be with them. And God, Lord, we pray for every single person in this place. God, Lord, touch our hearts and minds, God, through this service. God, speak to us, God, through whatever's going on at our jobs or our homes or our families. God, speak to our hearts, God. Let us not leave without having connected with you today, God. Lord, have your way in this service and anoint Brother Caskey as he brings your word. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
All of my worship, receive. all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship. You, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship you for me.
All of my worship. Receive.
to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
There we go. Praise the Lord, church. Boy, there's such a sweet, powerful presence in this place today. Thank you to our worship team for ushering in such a powerful presence of the Lord today. You can be seated this morning. Once again, if you're a guest of ours, it's such an honor to have you here. We've had a very busy, busy weekend here at Calvary Gospel Church. We started Friday evening, worked into the late hours, I guess you could say early Saturday morning before some of us left here, and then Saturday, yesterday, we're doing some renovating in our fellowship hall, getting things ready for not just our Sunday school, but just getting things ready for activity again, and we're going to be putting some new carpet in there starting this next week. Or next weekend, they're going to start on that, and we tore out the old sound booth, so when you go over there, it's going to look a little bit different from when you last saw it, many of you, and I want to thank all of those that were here yesterday, and I'll be here this afternoon yet finishing some loose ends, and all of those that were working, and all of those that helped support as far as with the food. We had some phenomenal tacos yesterday. The Martinez family provided that, and Sister Lois, my wife, and Sister Nancy on Friday night with an incredible buffet. I didn't have breakfast this morning, and I'm not preaching today. Brother Caskey, our elder, is going to be preaching, so while he's preaching, we'll be thinking about food and sandwiches. Brother Caskey, I'm sorry about this. But also yesterday, we had kind of a welcome back meeting with our Hmong pastor, and he brought in some of his leadership team, and Brother Pau and his wife, Vei Pau. Maua is their last name, I believe, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But they are so excited about starting up their services again. They'll be starting this coming Saturday, and they'll be in here Saturday afternoon. They're very, very excited about partnering up with Calvary Gospel Church, representing the Hmong community in Dane County. And we just had such a great prayer time and such a kindred of spirit and fellowship, and we're just excited. So they'll be joining us on Saturday evenings, and then also their worship team and some of their members will be joining us on Sundays for worship services. When we have combined services, they'll be included in on quite a few of our events over the course of the year. But with that, it is so great. If you could stand here in honor of our elder, so great to have Brother and Sister Caskey as part of Calvary Gospel Church. And Brother Caskey, we love you. We appreciate you and Sister Caskey. Come preach to us this morning. God bless you, elder.
Thank you so much. Praise ye the Lord. I'd like us just to give God some praise right now, to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, you're in the house, Lord. We've come to glorify your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you're looking forward to having our bishop speak. I was looking forward as well. I'm the backup. That wasn't much of a backup, but thank you for the honor to being here with you today. I believe the Lord is in this house to do some miraculous things today. You came for healing. God is here to heal you. You came here for deliverance. God is here to deliver you. This is the place to be. This is where we believe that salvation still works just like the Bible said it would. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will know when you receive the Holy Ghost. As they used to say in the good old days, we got a no-so salvation. You know when you get it, you will speak with another tongue. Hallelujah. Glorifying our God. Amen. If you have your Bible or you got your electronic device, if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Would you give your neighbor a high five, an air high five, whatever you feel like? And would you say to them, neighbor, you have an appointment, and you may be seated. Everybody here has an appointment that none of us really want to keep. But the Bible said there's an appointment I will keep, you will keep, if you like it or you don't. And that is an appointment with something called death. According to Wikipedia, death is the permanent, irreversible cessation of all biological functions that sustain a living organism. They say that death is an inevitable, universal process that eventually occurs in all living organisms. That is why when we celebrated last week the resurrection of Jesus, we celebrated the power that God has given to the church through Christ over death. And that we know that our Jesus is not dead, but according to Revelation 1:18, is alive forevermore. All of us in this house will have this appointment with death, unless through some miracle or God's time clock coming into being, there takes a rapture in which we will rise to meet him in the air. Death came into this world because of sin. The Bible said, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed to every man, for all have sinned. Even though, according to definition, death is the biological cessation of the functions of life, death is not the end of life. The body that you have has a part that is going to go on and living forever. And where you will spend eternity is determined by your choices you make in your life today. You have to understand that Jesus made a big issue that he was not the God of the dead. For there was a group of people in his day called the Sadducees that did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe that there was life that followed death. And Jesus said to those people who were the leaders of that day, he said to them, have you never heard me say that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He indicated in that although Abraham in their minds was long dead, and that Jacob in their minds was long dead, and they had his sepulcher, that he was still alive somewhere in the presence of God. You know, we used to sing about meeting God. I'm not against the new songs. I'm not against the worship we had today. But we used to sing the song that someday the silver cord will break and I shall see him face to face. And then we would also sing that song that where will you spend eternity? In heaven or hell, where will it be? I know such things are not popular today. We sometimes relegate the song, It Is Well With My Soul, to another denomination or to a funeral. But folks, you have to find out, is all well with your soul today? And we used to rejoice in the songs when the roll is called up yonder and when we all get to heaven. Now when we say such things, it causes consternation. We don't want to talk about that type of thing. We'd rather sing about the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and how wonderful life it is right now. But I must tell you that you have an appointment, and that appointment you will not avoid. The Egyptians used to have the view of the afterlife. Many of you have studied the great pyramids of their day, and you know that they were built as tombs. They were built for the rich of the day. And within those tombs, they would put the leader, and they would give him all kinds of things that they thought he would need in the afterlife. They would kill his servants and put them there. They would put his treasures and put that there. They would put a boat there that would take him into the afterlife. Well, the grave robbers figured out nothing was going on, and they just took what was good and they left the mummy there. So now all we have left is the mummy and what is there. The mummified remains still remain. The famous Romans of their day during the days of Paul wanted to make sure that people remembered them. So all the famous and major roads going into Rome had the tombs with the names of the famous people of the day. They still exist, but they're long gone. The cartel leaders in Mexico have places that are called the narco cemeteries, where they have built mausoleums costing $1 million+, complete with bulletproof glass and air conditioning, because they want to make sure when they go to the next life, they will have the influence they thought they had in this life. But I have, as a pastor, observed death in my life, have stood beside people that were dying. I've seen some go peacefully, slip off into that other world. And what was left, of course, was the corpse. I've been with others that struggled and literally fought with death. I stood beside my dear friend not long ago, about a year ago, and watched this dear friend as I sat beside him trying to sing to him hymns and songs that I knew he loved, reading scriptures that I knew he had read and even preached, and watched him struggle with death. He literally wrestled with death to the last moment. I've been an officiant at enough funerals. I've ridden with the funeral director in the lead car. I've heard some rather weird stories during those rides. I've heard about criminal activity I didn't know existed in the little town I lived in. And the person that was riding with me laughed about how he was involved with the mafia. It was always a good feeling to have a ride like that. And then another funeral director who we are acquainted with said to me, somebody asked him, said, "What has changed in the funerals?" And I've heard two of them say this. And they said, "Your services will no longer be needed in a few years. Fewer people believe in a religion or even having a ceremony that involves God. They'd rather just get together, look at the body, and go out and have a party." The Bible says the fool is in that kind of situation. The wise person takes into consideration. You have to understand that your life is a sacred value God has given you. He alone holds the right over your life. No man has the right to take life. The sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill," or in our phrase, "Thou shalt not murder." This applies to homicide and suicide. Many people feel that if they can somehow get to see God, they're going to argue with him that life was unfair. They're going to insist that they're going to have an argument with God. But I remind you of something that book of Matthew 25:26 tells, the incident of a man that decided he would argue with God. And when he was called before God and along with his talent, he said, "I know it's unfair. You're demanding more of me than what you should." And God said to him, "Because of what you said, I will judge you out of your own mouth. What you say I am, I will be to you." And the man was cast out into outer darkness. You will not have a chance to argue. You will not be able to hire an attorney. What you do now is what you must be doing, and that is getting your heart right with God today. Isaiah spoke of men that thought they could outsmart death. And he wrote in the book of Isaiah 28 these words, "And your covenant with death will be disannulled, and your agreement with hell will not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, you shall be trodden down by it." Many people are living in this kind of fuzzy idea today that they can somehow choose their future and they can choose death. They would rather do it their way because in their mind, they have got an idea what death is like. I'm here to tell you that the Bible declares very strongly that you've got an agreement with lies and that will not hold to you and will not hold in the final end. Life is a trust. God trusts you with your life. But what he wants you to do is surrender your life to him. He that seeks to save his life will lose it. And he that gives his life to Christ will live. He wants to make you have an abundant life. Not just an existence, but an abundant life. You see, you've got to understand, even if you've been raised in the church, that you are living an abundant life. If you look at what the world has to offer, when you come to the house of God, this is not routine. You have come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you have living an abundant life that the world would love to live. They're trying to find it many different ways. But the decisions you make today are your relationship with God. Your friends are testing you. Don't blame the devil. It's your friends. They're trying to draw you away. They've got a subtle way of sort of driving in your foolishness. You'd be better off to do what they're doing. But remember, you have tasted of a heavenly gift. You've been touched by a heavenly voice, and they do not know what that is like today. You see, maybe you feel God's way is restricting you. Maybe it's too narrow. But remember that Jesus said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. If you found that way today, you found the best way. You are one of the few and the privileged that has the opportunity of knowing what the straight gate is all about and the abundant life. When you go through your Bible, you will come to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It was written by a very wise man by the name of Solomon, who is endued with his wisdom by the Almighty. If you follow the book of wisdom of Solomon, you will find that in there it tells you how to live life. You will find that he tells you how to have relationships, how to treat work, how to handle your money, how to obey. He also tells you the thoughts of the backslider who's filled with his own way. He will tell you about food and what is good for you. He will also tell you how to show respect. But the book of Proverbs is followed by another book called the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Proverbs is most likely written in Solomon's younger days when he was giving advice on how to really enjoy life. But the book of Ecclesiastes was written in the closing days of his life when the sun was setting on his illustrious career of 40 years of reigning the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. Suddenly the rosiness of the future has dimmed. He looks at what he has done, his buildings, his wealth, the enjoyment that he's had, and he comes up with this term, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What he says is, I've lived my life. I've done things that nobody else has done. I've accumulated wealth beyond what anybody has ever accumulated. And it's all for nothing. I'm going to hand it over to someone that I don't know if he is a fool or if he's wise. And that's a fact, folks. When you leave here, you leave it all. And he reminds the young men of his day and the young ladies of his day, you can do everything you please, but remember, you're going to stand before the Almighty and you will give account for your deeds. He concludes the book with this advice. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You can live all you want, but you finally have to conclude there's only one way to live. And he finally concludes with the last verse of the 12th chapter, last two verses, and he says this. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When death knocks, the life of this realm ceases. Yes, you need to make provision for your family. If you're a young man with a family, you need a will. And I'm not selling insurance, so I'm not making a commercial. But you do need life insurance to cover for that. But once we die, we step into another world. And we have no more contact with this world. The advice you give is given now. The life you live is living now. We take nothing from this world. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul hooked onto it. And I've followed a few in my day. We come empty, we leave empty. While our accumulations are left here, the only thing that counts is what you're going to do with your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ today. A man came to Jesus and he was concerned that he was not getting his rightful portion of the estate. And so he cries out to the master while Jesus is teaching and he says, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He was so concerned about what he wasn't getting. And have you ever seen families break up over this? Argue over this? Won't speak to each other because they were unfairly treated. I walked into the funeral home and I saw an argument taking over right over the body. And they were going through all the pockets in the man's coat and his pants. It was a sight to behold because they knew he was taking something with him. But his pockets were empty. And then they were mad at each other. Jesus said to that man, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. And then the Bible gives that parable of a man that was preparing for the future. And it goes like this. He was a man that was a good farmer, and he was able to raise a great crop, which he did. And he decides, after seeing how prosperous his years had been, and it not only did he have accumulation from one year, but accumulated from years on, and another abundant harvest. And he said, I don't have enough room for all this. And so he tore down his old barns and built bigger ones. And then he said to his soul, take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. But that night, God said to him, thou fool, this night thy life is required of thee. Then what shall these things be that thou hast provided? It's so easy to get wrapped up in the present and minimize the future. Yet every day you're living, I'm living my life in the light of eternity. Everything in this life is temporal. My life, and as we become older, our neighbors around us are starting to pass away. And so it isn't long until there's the estate sale. And you walk into the house and you begin to see what was important to the family. To some it was Christmas, because there's a whole pile of Christmas decorations. To others, you could tell the lady of the house loved her fine china. And I'm not against ladies having fine china. That's fine. But there, all this beautiful china is set out on a table, along with the list of what is there and what it's for. And as we would stand there, the people that were trying to help out and get rid of this, whatever society was there, well, we don't know what this is all about. We don't know what it's for. And my wife had to go through the pieces and say, this is for this and this is for this, because nobody wanted it. A lifetime of accumulation of beautiful china that nobody wants and nobody cares. Down in the basement, you found the man's tools that he had collected. They're now antiques. Nobody wants them. They're not state of the art. They're the old kind you got to plug in, you know. Nobody's going to pay the price he paid for them. It's something you just sort of get and sort of laugh. This is how we used to do it, you know. But Jesus gave the life, the picture of what life is beyond the grave. And he told that in a story involving a very rich man and a poor man called Lazarus. The man that was rich lived sumptuously. Apparently these were Jewish people. And so there were rules, if you read through the book of Leviticus. I know that's something you just read through recently and absorbed. Somebody asked me, well, am I teaching a PI lesson this morning? I said, the test comes later, only this is going to be much more serious than any of Brother Caskey's quizzes. Amen. There's a test you and I are all going to take. We're going to meet him. And we're going to have answer to him. According to the Jewish law, you were to care for the poor. The sick man laid at this man's, there was absolutely rules how they were to be treated. But he ignored those rules because he was too involved in himself. And he didn't even bother. He didn't even want to give the crumbs to the man outside of it, because I'm sure it was ruining the picture of his beautiful estate. So when the man died, the man called Lazarus, I'm sure that the man inside of the palace, inside of the estate, was thrilled to get rid of that scum outside. But the Bible said the angels came and carried that poor man's soul into a place called Abraham's bosom, which was the Old Testament equivalent of paradise. But death also came for the rich man, who had lived sumptuously and ignored the law of God and had despised the poor man at his gate. And when he woke up, he suddenly found himself in a place called hell and was in torment. Now suddenly he is looking at the poor man that he'd been ignoring and seeing him afar off and cries out, to the one that he thought might have some kind of compassion on him. And that was his great ancestor, Abraham. And he cries out, Abraham, Father Abraham, would you please send Lazarus to dip his finger and just put a drop of water on my tongue, for I'm a tormentor. A lot of folks don't like that story. It makes them uncomfortable. And folks, it ought to, because Jesus told it to make you uncomfortable. He wanted you to be aware that there is a life after this life. And you need to prepare. You need to take advantage of the cross. You need to take advantage of the blood that Jesus shed for you. It's that moment right now for you. The rich man begins to try to bargain. And Abraham says, you enjoyed your life. You had all the heaven you wanted. You had no time for the God that you now are now crying out for. You notice the man did not pray to God. He prayed to Abraham. That lets me tell you something. There will be a lot of folks trying to get things right when it's too late. There's going to be a lot of folks crying out when there's no time to cry out. Hell is full of prayer meetings with no answer. That's why today is the day you need to cry out. It's the why today is the day you need to get your heart right with the Almighty. And he loves you and is giving you another chance. Then he finally says, well, if you can't send this man, if there's this great gulf fixed, which lets you know something, that there's no change. I determine my future by my life right now. Amen. And he says, well, could you please send Lazarus? Maybe if somebody rose from the dead, they would listen. And the answer comes back, they have the same opportunity you had. Let them hear them. You got to consider some things. The Bible hasn't changed its pay scale. The wages of sin is still death. Not just death in the grave, but a death totally separated from God. I want to let you know that death is not your friend. Death is an enemy. It came into the world because of sin. The Bible declares, the book of 1 Corinthians 15, the great chapter on the resurrection that gives us a lot of hope about the resurrection, has these words in it. And it says this, when it talks about death must reign, or that Christ must reign until all the enemies are put under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Then the whole idea of salvation and the Savior is done. But death is not called a friend. It's called an enemy. We've got a lot of folks that think death is a friend. It is an enemy that God came to destroy. But what you're doing today, and this is what must be done, as Paul wrote in the book of 1 Timothy, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. You can send your sins ahead. Forgiven sins because of the blood of Christ. Today, there is hope. I didn't come to preach to you because there's hopelessness. I've come to preach to you because there's hope. There's hope for you. You're alive. You can make a decision today. If you're young, take this seriously. The temptations you're facing are trying to take your attention away from the most important value of your life, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. They're trying to get into there and pull you away. But today, you're feeling the Holy Ghost calling you. We call it conviction, and thank God for conviction, because conviction is calling and calling you today. Jesus is calling you today. I'd like you to bow your head with me right now, because in this house, there are those whom God is dealing with. You may have known God for a long time, but your relationship has grown cold. You don't realize it, but it's grown cold. You're not on fire, and you're not frozen. You're just lukewarm. One of the most dangerous positions to be in. You've got just enough of God to be happy, but not enough of God to be satisfied. I know this is old-fashioned. I'm an old preacher, but I'm here preaching for your soul today. I'm preaching for your life today. I'm preaching to the saint. I'm preaching to those that don't know God. I'm preaching to the visitor. I'm preaching because Jesus loves you and wants you to be renewed and restored today. Jesus, right now, I'm praying that the person that you intended this message for might receive it. That they will not ignore that knock on their door of their heart, but would respond even now. For your merciful arms are open, and you'd like to come in and sit down and renew that relationship with them again. Oh, let the heart not be hard, but let it be open in the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? God is calling you. He's reaching for you. His love is in this house today. That's why he went to Calvary for you, and he went to Calvary for me. Remember the man Nicodemus? He thought he was so good and so religious. He thought he could make it in for what he was. Jesus said to that man on the first statement when he opened his mouth, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You're here. Your priorities of life are out of line. Today is the day to get back in contact with the Savior of your soul. God is talking to you right now. I'm asking you to start coming to this altar now, to step out and make that commitment again. This is the most important thing of my life, is to serve you and to love you and to follow you. You're back there, you're trying to hide, but God's not. He knows who you are, and he's calling you right now. I'm urging you to come. Come together. If you know somebody that's out there, take them by the hand. So let's go meet Jesus one more time. And if I could ask as many as possible to start coming right now, let's renew our commitment to God. Let's get this thing right. Hallelujah. Today's the day to receive the power and the anointing of the Almighty. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, move right now with your power and your might. Call with your love and your compassion. Oh Lord, even now, call. Let us respond in the name of the Lord. You're coming, keep coming. There's plenty of room up here at the front. It's time to renew. It's time to pray through. It's time to pray through. It's time to let the Holy Spirit start talking through you again. It's time to renew that special touch of God in your life.
The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever. Nothing compares to your name.
Worshiping. I just, for those of you that are leaving, thank you so very much for joining us today. Thank you, Elder. You know, we live in such a broken world. The reason our world is broken is because humanity is broken. And we keep trying to fix things when only Jesus Christ can fix what's broken. Just a reminder, Wednesday evening we do have missionary Marcus Brainos from France will be here, and then Brother Aaron Wright will be ministering next Sunday here at Calvary Gospel Church. Our marriage workshop begins April 19th. Remember the deadline tonight. God bless you all. Love you all. Thank you so very much for joining with us today, and we're going to continue to worship. And, don't want to rush out, but those of you that have to go, God bless you.